Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Treating Emotional Dysregulation in Kids and Adolescents, Ready to Use Interventions for Anxiety, Worry, Reactivity, and Depression by Jeffrey Ulrich, PhD, is a clinical practice resource for professionals working with young people who struggle to manage intense emotions. The book sits within child and adolescent mental health. Combining psychoeducation, intervention planning, and practical therapeutic tools, rather than presenting a general parenting manual or a purely theoretical model. Its purpose is to help clinicians recognize how anxiety, worry, reactive behavior, and depressive withdrawal can overlap in everyday practice. Then select interventions that fit the young person's presentation. Based on available descriptions, the book emphasizes compassionate, engaging, and usable methods for teaching emotional regulation skills. It is designed for application in sessions with children, adolescents, and families, especially where clinicians need structured material that can be adapted without building every activity from the beginning. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, emotional dysregulation as a shared pathway across anxiety, reactivity, and depression. A central value of the book is its framing of emotional dysregulation as a common clinical concern rather than as a problem confined to one diagnosis. Children and adolescents may present with anxiety, excessive worry, irritability, shutdown, avoidance, anger, or low mood, and these patterns often coexist. By focusing on regulation processes, the book appears to help clinicians look beneath surface behaviors and ask what emotional state the young person is unable to tolerate, identify, express, or shift. This matters because a child who argues, avoids schoolwork, or becomes tearful may not need entirely separate treatment logic for each behavior. The clinician can instead assess whether the reaction is driven by threat sensitivity, rumination, frustration, shame, or hopelessness. Such a framework supports more coherent intervention planning. It also reduces the risk of treating only the visible behavior while missing the emotional mechanism sustaining it. For practitioners, this transdiagnostic lens is useful because real clinical presentations are rarely neat, especially in youth whose symptoms may change across home, school, and peer contexts. Secondly, ready to use intervention modules for direct clinical application, the book is positioned as a practical toolkit, and its ready-to-use structure is one of its defining features. In child and adolescent therapy, clinicians often need materials that can be introduced quickly, explained clearly, and adjusted to the developmental level of the client. A modular approach helps because it separates broad treatment aims into teachable components, such as recognizing emotional cues, naming internal experiences, reducing worry loops, managing reactive impulses, or building coping responses. This format can support session planning, especially for clinicians balancing assessment, report, parent communication, and symptom reduction. It also makes the material more adaptable. A young person dominated by worry may need different emphasis than one whose main difficulty is anger or depressive disengagement. The practical significance is not merely convenience. Structured interventions can improve consistency, reduce therapist drift, and make progress easier to track across sessions. When used thoughtfully, such modules allow clinicians to select interventions based on observed needs, rather than relying on a single generic coping skill for every emotional problem. Thirdly, compassionate engagement with young people rather than behavior-only correction. Available descriptions emphasize the book's compassionate and engaging approach, which is especially important in emotional dysregulation work. Children and adolescents who are anxious, reactive, or depressed are often described through their most disruptive or concerning behaviors. A compassionate clinical stance reframes these behaviors as signals of overwhelmed coping systems rather than simply defiance, weakness, or lack of motivation. This changes intervention tone. Instead of beginning with correction, the clinician can help the young person understand what is happening in the body, thoughts, and behavior when emotion escalates. Engagement is equally important because regulation skills are only useful if the young person can understand and practice them. Youth therapy often fails when interventions are too abstract, adult-centered, or moralizing. A practical, compassionate style can make skills feel less punitive and more collaborative. This is particularly relevant for adolescents, who may resist therapy if they feel analyzed or controlled. The book's emphasis on accessible explanations and meaningful strategies suggests a focus on participation, not just compliance. Fourthly, clinical decision-making when emotional presentations overlap. One of the more useful aspects noted in descriptions of the book is its attention to overlap among anxious, reactive, and depressed presentations. This overlap creates a common challenge in practice. The same young person may avoid feared situations, explode when pressured, and withdraw after perceived failure. If clinicians treat these as unrelated problems, intervention can become scattered. The book's guidance appears to support more deliberate selection of strategies by clarifying what presentation is most active and what function the behavior serves. For example, worry-focused work may be appropriate when repetitive threat thinking dominates, while impulse regulation or calming strategies may be more relevant when reactivity occurs rapidly under stress. Depressive patterns may require attention to avoidance, low energy, and disengagement from valued activities. The reasoning behind this approach is that effective intervention depends on matching tools to mechanisms. A coping worksheet used at the wrong moment can be ineffective, not because the skill is poor, but because it does not fit the young person's emotional process. The book, therefore, appears to function as a bridge between assessment and action. Lastly, support for family-facing and youth-centered mental health practice. Although the book is primarily described as a clinician resource, its subject matter naturally extends into work with families. Emotional dysregulation in children and adolescents rarely exists only in the therapy room. Parents, caregivers, teachers, and other adults often experience the consequences of anxiety, irritability, avoidance, or depressive withdrawal. And they may unintentionally reinforce patterns through accommodation, escalation, criticism, or overprotection. A practical intervention guide can help clinicians translate regulation concepts into language that families can understand and use. This does not mean reducing therapy to parent instruction. Rather, it means creating shared explanations of what is happening and what responses are likely to help. Youth-centered work also requires respecting the young person's experience while helping adults respond more consistently. The book's reported focus on clear explanations and practical strategies suggests usefulness for clinicians who must coordinate child insight, caregiver involvement, and behavior change. Its contribution lies in making emotional regulation work more actionable across the systems that shape a young person's daily emotional life. In conclusion, treating emotional dysregulation in kids and adolescents is best suited for clinicians, counselors, psychologists, social workers, school-based mental health professionals, and trainees who need practical tools for working with youth affected by anxiety, worry, reactivity, and depressive symptoms. Its main benefit is likely its usefulness at the point of care. It helps practitioners move from recognizing emotional distress to choosing concrete interventions that can be introduced in sessions. Intellectually, the book supports a transdiagnostic way of thinking, encouraging readers to see dysregulation as a process that cuts across several common youth presentations. Practically, it appears to offer structured, adaptable material rather than broad advice alone, compared with many books in the child therapy category. Its distinguishing feature is the combination of emotional regulation focus, overlap among anxiety and depression-related presentations, and ready-to-use clinical application. It is not positioned as a comprehensive diagnostic textbook or a general parenting guide. Its strength is narrower and more practice-oriented. Readers looking for a highly theoretical account of child psychopathology may need supplementary sources, but practitioners seeking compassionate, organized, session-ready interventions are likely to find it especially relevant. Its value stands in translating familiar clinical concerns into usable strategies for young people and the adults supporting them. If you would like to support Jeffrey Ulrich, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.